We in adult class, of course, are in Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. In chapters 1 through 5, Moses reviewed the past history of Israel to remind the new generation and to help the new generation, not remind them, but to help them because they wouldn't have known, to help the new generation appreciate all that God had done for the people of Israel up to that point. Chapters 6 through 11, Moses reminded the people how to respond to God's goodness and why it was important that Jehovah be obeyed. Moses, of course, wanted the people to develop hearts of love for God. If they loved him, they would obey him. Sounds exactly like what Jesus taught us in the New Testament. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. The covenant promises were repeated along with the warnings of what disobedience would bring. Moses longed to see the faith of God's people grow and their love for him increase as well, so that when they entered into the land, they could conquer their enemies and enjoy their inheritance to the glory of God. And what a great inheritance it was. Now in chapters 12 through 26, Moses continues to build on the foundation and apply the law of God to Israel's new lives. They were no longer slaves in Egypt, were they? They were no longer nomads wandering about in the wilderness or in the desert. Now they're going to be conquerors as they go into the land and live there, hopefully in obedience to the Lord's command. Of course, they had to understand what a privileged people they were. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen? Does that apply to us? And we have been blessed like no other nation on the face of the earth, in the history of the world. Think about it. I mean, not only has God blessed us where we have and have had for our history, our entire history. As a matter of fact, our nation was founded on biblical principles and the Bible, the Word of God, and God himself was very important to most of the founders. And so we have seen a history of many churches, the gospel freely preached. Doesn't mean that everyone believed. It's always been a minority of people that truly are born again. The Lord said that. He said there'd be few that enter in. But we were a nation, for the most part, that at least had a good level of morality. And also, we were appreciative of the fact that God had blessed us. Even those that did not know the Lord personally acknowledged his existence. And wouldn't be afraid to say, yeah, I thank God for his goodness, or whatever, in a general, generic sense. That's changing. The number of those that attend church is going down, down, down. I don't have the stats in front of me. I've seen them. I've read them. But we are seeing a marked decrease in church attendance. Those affiliated with church, I saw an interview, one of those on the street type of things where people are asked about Easter and about why is Good Friday good? One said, oh, all Fridays are good. You know, had all kinds of crazy answers. There were a few that knew, but not many. Probably one out of 10 had any idea. What's Easter all about? Oh, chocolate eggs and Easter baskets and bunnies. Seriously, that's what a lot of people thought. That's Easter. Well, Moses didn't want the people of Israel to forget how far God had brought them. And it's good for us to be reminded of how far God has brought us and how now as a nation we're beginning to turn away from him. With privilege comes responsibilities. We should be living as the Jews back then were to be living as God's chosen people, we should be living as a nation that God has richly, richly, richly blessed. All right, so let's look, number one, at the fact they were to purge the land. Now we're talking about Moses is going to instruct them, what do you do when you get in the land? Here's what God wants you to do. Number one, purge the land. If someone would read verses 1 through 3. Chapter 12, 1 through 3. George, go ahead.
These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place.
All right, thank you. So in chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 32, Moses listed the general principles of Israel's relationship with God. Now Moses is going to explain specific laws. That'll be 12:1 through chapter 26, verse 19. Specific laws to help the nation of Israel submit to God's will in every area of their lives. And he's going to teach them what they were to observe in the land when they get there. But before they could occupy, before they could do what God wanted them to do, they had to rid the land of idolatry. Remember, that was their downfall. That was their downfall. They were carried away into Babylonian captivity because of more than one reason, but number one was idolatry. Don't think for a minute, because we don't bow down before statues or pray to them, that we are not an idolatrous nation. We have a lot of idols, don't we? It's easy to have idols. Well, much of chapter 12 deals with the total destruction of these false religions. God would not tolerate any of it. Now, what is our philosophy as a nation today? Everything goes. Whatever you believe, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere in what you believe. Isn't that what is thrown out? Must tolerate everybody. Not only tolerate, you must embrace it. If you don't, you're a racist, no matter what it is. Well, in verse number one, again, these are the statutes and the judgments which ye shall observe. There's no choice there. And what we have here in verse number one is first an assurance. God is telling them, you will enter the land, and you will defeat the enemy. So verse 1 talks about assurance. But also it contains a command that having entered the land, you must rid it of all idolatry. Now this had been dealt with before. Back in chapter 7 and verse number 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all the other ites and kites and mites and tites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, literally conquer them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, and nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me. Kind of the opposite of what, you know, I've counsel people over the years, and they want to get married, and man will have a wife picked out, and we'll talk about faith, and maybe he's born again, and she's not born again, or she's born again, he's not born again. Bible's clear that we're not supposed to marry if someone's lost. We don't marry a lost person, right? We're not supposed to be unequally yoked. But what I'll hear from them is, yeah, but you don't get it. See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to marry them. And I'm going to lead them to Jesus. But guess what happens many more times than not? The person that knows the Lord is pulled away from God and no longer is active in serving him. That's basically what's being talked about here, except it's more, even more serious. God said, do not intermarry. Don't do it. Why? I mean, why can't? What if I want to? I'm going to bring that heathen to the Lord. God said, no. Who knows human nature more than God, right? For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images or sacred altars, cut down their groves, their Asherim, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, burn their graven or carved images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So, had they heard it before? But God, knowing their hearts, knowing human nature, said, Moses, I want you to tell them again. Tell them again what's going to happen if they intermarry. Tell them again what they are to do when they go into the promised land. So, these are the statutes and the judgments. Assurance and instruction, which the Lord of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy. What's that mean, utterly destroy? It means exactly what it says. Completely, utterly, without any reservation, destroy them all. All of them. The false religions of the Canaanite peoples were false and filthy. False and filthy. They worship many false gods and goddesses. They worship Baal and Asherah. We see Asherim, that's the plural, okay? Baal was the storm god. Asherah was the goddess who they believed ruled the seas and was the mother of all gods, including Baal, and was sometimes Baal's deadly enemy. She also is the goddess of fertility and childbirth, and also the goddess of war. The Babylonian counterpart would be Ishtar, which is where we get Easter, which is found one time in the Bible, and it's a poor translation. I never liked the name Easter. About you? I mean, it's a pagan name, isn't it, Bill? It's pagan.
I think so.
Yeah, Ishtar is a false fertility goddess. Where do you think all the eggs and all this stuff come from? Oh, they symbolize life. No. Ishtar, fertility. Do I have a problem with it? You want to hunt Easter eggs? Want to eat chocolate eggs? I'm all for chocolate eggs, by the way. But that's not Easter, right? All right, so the mythology of Canaan saw Asherah as the consort of Baal, who displaced El as their highest god. Because of this, her sacred objects, the poles, the groves they're called, were right beside altars to Baal, and both were worshipped. So these wooden Asherah poles, the groves, were sex symbols, and people used temple prostitutes as they worshiped their false gods. The major goal of their religion was fertility for themselves and their crops. So when the people got into the land and they knew about these Asherahs and they, Jewish women, of course, and the Middle Eastern women were concerned about childbirth. That was a big deal. We read in the Bible about women that were barren, and it was a big deal. They had to have children. They wanted children. It's a big deal to them. And so they were very tempted to go ahead and, along with worshiping God, maybe I can maybe say a secret little prayer to this pole over here, this Asherah, because she's the fertility goddess. Kind of like, you know, what's it going to hurt? Well, it's going to hurt a lot because God said, don't do it. God said, matter of fact, destroy them all, right? And then we find in Hezekiah's day, he's going around, he's having destroyed it. They're all over the place, the high places and the groves. We don't listen very well, do we? Israel didn't either. Moses reminded Israel that anything idolatrous remaining in the land had to be destroyed, or it would become a tool in Satan's hand. What did Paul say? He said in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place, don't give an opportunity for the devil. Now, we might very carefully bar and lock and chain the doors of our hearts. But we carelessly leave the back window wide open. And so the devil comes crawling in our lives, crawling in our hearts, and we've given him the opportunity. We left the window wide open, thinking that, well, we got the door barred and chained and locked. And he wreaks havoc in our lives because we let him in. Giving place to the devil is also a warning that if we disobey God and hang on to that which he said get rid of, that we are giving ourselves over to the devil. Now, the devil can't get a Christian soul, right? When we're saved, we're saved. We are in Christ. We are secure in Christ. He holds us in his hand. There is absolute security in Christ. The devil knows that he cannot get our souls. We are saved for eternity, but he can render us totally ineffective for God, can he? He can't possess us, but he can oppress us and make life miserable. Even the names of pagan deities were to be wiped out, or they could be used in occult practices to cast spells. That's why I tell you over and over again not to mess with the horoscopes. Because it's not a game. Satan's not a game. You know, the when God says don't mess with witchcraft, don't mess with fortunes and stars and all this different stuff where we're looking somewhere other than to God for our fortune or for our futures. All we're doing is giving place to the devil. Ah, come on, Pastor, I do it in fun. No, you don't mess with and have fun with satanic things. Today, of course, there are considered to be no absolutes. Relativism. My truth may not be your truth. Your truth may not be my truth. We have to respect each other. And we have to, according to the world, we have to just tolerate one another. Now it's gotten a lot worse. Now it's you believe what I believe. And if you don't, you're a racist. And, you know, you're a horrible person. I'm going to cancel you. Don't you tweet something that I don't agree with. I'll shut you out. Plurality is promoted. As long as it helps you, one religion is as good as another. It's not politically correct to say that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. I've seen many a pastor being interviewed who has buckled at the knees when asked if Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. One of the big heroes, I noticed they're starting to promote him on Fox News. That's going to be the end of Fox News for this boy when they start promoting Joel Osteen as some kind of spiritual hero. He's way off. Sounds good. Talks sweet. Got pretty hair and beautiful eyes. You're into that thing, into that kind of thing. But he's a phony. Pastor, you can't say that. Oh, yeah, I can. I got the Word of God. I don't base it on what I think. I base it on the truth of the Word of God. Just because somebody sounds good. You know, the devil masquerades as an angel of light sometimes. Not just a roaring lion. He masquerades as an angel of light. So the soft, gentle message, if it's wrong, it's just as dangerous. It's an AR-15. Spiritually. I even saw in his old age, and this happens to, I hope this doesn't happen to me when I get older. I'm not old yet, but when I get older, I hope it doesn't happen to me that I start getting squishy and weak. Even Billy Graham, who I love with all my heart, thought he's a great man. He was a great man. But as he got older, he got soft, and he was questioned on this, and he buckled. J.I. Packer, a great, great theologian, wrote a book, many books. One that I think of off the top of my head is The Knowledge of the, no, that was Tozer. Knowing God. Great book. Knowing God. He buckled. I've seen a lot of older saints, and not just old. Osteen, oh man, he went crawled in a hole when he was asked.
Well, I can't really say.
But God made it clear through Moses, all evidences of the Canaanite religion and their evil practices were to be destroyed and removed from the land. But they did not listen. In Psalm 106, verse number 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen, and learned their work. See, they knew better. Some or another, I don't know what it is about. Well, yeah, I do. Our hearts are just wicked, deceitful, desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? We can't even know it. God said, do it. Here's why you need to do it. Here's what's going to happen if you don't do it. And what did they do? What they wanted to do, right? And I don't criticize Israel because I do the same stupid stuff. It's crazy, but we do. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto demons. Wow. Which is exactly what the Canaanites would do. They would sacrifice anything to their gods, anything, including their kids. Didn't matter. They didn't purge the land and were disciplined for their disobedience. So number one, they were to purge the land, verses 1-3. Number two, they were to worship the Lord. They were to worship the Lord, verses 4-14. Verses 4 through 14. If I could have somebody read 4 through 9. I don't think we can get any further than that. We might. 4 through 9, volunteer. Chapter 12, this is. Bill, go ahead.
4 through 9? Mm-hmm. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vow offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all which you have put your hand, you, your household, and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God has given you.
All right. Thank you, Bill. All right. They were to worship the Lord, but not in the Canaanite way. I mean, it mattered what they did back then, and it matters what we do now. There are many even evangelical pastors that say methods don't matter. Doesn't matter what the method is. But I totally disagree. God cares about methods. I mean, if my goal is just to fill the building with people, there's lots of ways to do that, aren't there? We could have a 75-inch flat-screen TV giveaway, come up with some kind of contest. We could have a popular rock or country band to come in and play, couldn't we? And we could really go all out and have a kegger. Sounds ridiculous, right? But churches have resorted to all kinds of things. Did God ever intend, did Christ, the one who founded the church with his own blood, do you think he ever desired that the church would become a theater? Entertainment center? Seriously, do you think that's what he had in mind when he died for the church? But that's what much of it has turned into. Theater. Because after all, in our nation, you know, everybody has their rights and everybody wants to have their opinion. And even though now we, you know, we're turning into a nation where free speech is now a luxury. It's tragic. I mean, that's the foundation of our society, is the freedom to express ourselves, right? It's rapidly disintegrating. So everybody, you know, feels like they should be able to say what they want, and there should be freedom of speech. Even those that we disagree with should be able to voice their opinion, shouldn't they? Not cry fire in a theater or something like that. That, of course, is against the law. That's not free speech. That's stupidity. But free speech, we should be able to have a conversation, shouldn't we? Well, the Lord established the church so that we could worship him and do it orderly. We could come together as a family. We can serve one another, edify one another, reach out into the community, and hopefully win others to Christ, bring them into the assembly. We can minister to one another, help one another, be there for one another, pray for one another, and we could go on and on and on and on, serve one another as Christ's taught us and demonstrated to us. But if it becomes theater, now we're coming not to serve, not to minister, not to hear the word of God, but instead to get something. Church used to be all about giving. I'm not talking about money. Now, in many cases, it's all about getting. What's in it for me? Folks come in. Oh, that's not a very nice church. They don't even have a really good Sunday school department. They got them in little cubby holes. Back in the day, I went to a church, had curtains separating classrooms. You ever been, you've been in that sort of, right? Tickle to death, no one thought anything of it. There's no big deal. All right, so you have a curtain. But today's world, it's, well, I can go right down the street down here. They got a really nice facility down here. It's sad but true. And when you walk in the door of this church, one thing I don't want anyone to ever do is to walk in the doors of this church and say, and leave after it's over and say, man, I didn't get any Bible there. Because that's our textbook. God called me to preach. Preach the word. That's the first thing. 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word. Be instant in season, whether it's popular, whether it's not. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, with all patience and doctrine. Paul went on to say, you know, the time's going to come when they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, people aren't going to want to hear it. I think we're there. What do you think? You'd be shocked the number of pastors they're more concerned about hoping they're going to say what people want to hear. I'm very concerned that I say what God wants me to say. Do I always do that? Of course not. Have I failed? Many times. But my desire, the desire of my heart, is to preach the word without apology. So I think that's maybe why some may come in and not be impressed. Man, I don't want to hear all that. It makes me feel bad. You know, if sin is preached about, we could leave feeling worse if we don't get it right. But if we get it right, if God reveals to our hearts something that's not right, and we get it right, wow, we leave rejoicing, don't we? The most important thing we do as a church is to worship God in spirit and in truth. All should flow out of worship. Everything should be Bible-centered. But when we imitate the world and turn worship into entertainment and the church into theater, I think we fail God. All right, that's as far as we're going to be able to get. I got a little preachy again. And I don't mean to do that, but it just happens. I have no excuse. Any questions or comments?